Well, now let's change gears this very hour. We head over to Warrap State, where we'll be discussing the security situation and recent extension of the state of emergency. Now, with me in the studio is the State Minister of Information, Mamer Bath. Good morning, Honorable. Welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Yes, good morning, Miraya.
Well, it's good to have you here, Honorable. Now, can you confirm the details of the recent extension of the state of emergency in Warrap State, including its new duration and scope?
Yes, good morning once again, and good morning all the listeners and audience. I'm Honorable Minister of Information, Warrap State, Mamer Bath Moral. I'm here to share with you some of the updates that are happening now in Warrap State.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to confirm that the state of emergency has been extended by the President of the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. And it was on January 15th?
Yes, it was actually renewed on the 15th January.
Mm-hmm.
It will end up to 15th July 2026, I mean.
Mm.
Yes.
And how long? Okay, so what were the primary security challenges that you think prompted this extension beyond the initial 6 months declared in June 2025?
Yes, the circumstance that led his acting the president to declare a state of emergency in Warrap State includes killings, revenge killings, cattle theft, cattle raidings, impunity, and civilian taking the law into their own hand. Those are the reasons that prompted his acting the president to extend.
The state was not able to address all this in the previous 6 months?
Yes.
And what were the challenges in helping the state to address these things that you mentioned in just 6 months?
In fact, the challenge that was facing the state not to implement this was the rampant gun in the hand of our civilians.
Mm.
So, as you know, disarmament, peaceful or possible disarmament has not been made by the state government.
Mm.
Yes.
And when we talk about the forceful disarmament, does it mean there's resistance from the communities on ground?
There was no actually resistance from the people on the ground or from the AMUs.
Mm.
But at some point, we at the state, in collaboration with the national government, we could not able to provide make forces available actually to implement the disarmament.
Mm.
So, you know, there was a plan actually to disarm our civil population,
mm-hmm.
but we could not able to do that because there were also overwhelmed insecurity that affected also some part of this country. That was actually a threat to national security.
Mm-hmm.
So our national government prioritized that.
Mm.
And if you have heard recently a statement made by CDF, he declared that after we finish operation here in some part of the country, like in Jonglei,
mm-hmm.
then we'll move back to Warrap State to go and make a disarmament. So there was no forces on the ground to make a disarmament. So I cannot say it is a resistance from our AMUs.
Mm.
Yes.
Only that the forces are not on the ground.
Forces were
We've seen stories some time back of armed youth even overpowering some forces.
Not actually. I cannot say that because I will just assure to you one day when we begin to make a disarmament,
mm-hmm.
and if we met any resistance, then we will say that, yes, this one is true.
Honorable, how many firearms have been collected so far under the state of emergency in 2025?
Yes, there was a collection of arms in Twitch, according to a report I received from County Commission of Twitch, Twitch County. That was over 3,000 were collected. and 1,500 1,500 also was collected in Toinos. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just what role have armed youth played in assisting or resisting the forceful disarmament process? And have there been any major incidents during the operations?
Yeah, there was no resistance because, you know, some of them actually got tired of this.
Carrying the firearms.
Carrying firearms, killing themselves. They're also fed up. They even the urging us as the government to disarm them.
But if they're fed up, they should be coming out openly with their firearms and presenting it to the government.
Yeah, you know, they sometimes feel like they feel vulnerable. They feel exposed. If they voluntarily surrendered the guns without proper protections, measures put on the ground by the government, sometimes difficult for them to voluntarily surrender the weapon.
Do you encourage voluntary surrendering of firearms?
Yes, I encourage that. But actually,
as a state government,
those are our civilians, and these are our priority as the government. We have to provide protection, safety and protection path after that.
Do you think people are holding firearms in Warap or simply because they feel they're not safe and they don't trust the government?
You know, there are two insecurity in Warap: the external security, insecurity, and the internal one. So even if we solve the internal security, and then the external one will also affect us.
But if you solve the internal security, you're able to protect the people from external insecurity.
And that's why now we are preparing. We have forces now in the training fields. Then after that, they will be released and deployed.
Along training field where?
In Majangtit. We have forces now in Division 11 headquarters.
In Warap?
In Warap.
So when will they be deployed?
They will be deployed soon.
All right.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the improvements in security. Have locals seen some improvement since the extension?
Yes.
It's now like a month now.
Yes, I have to assure you that there's now relative camps in across the state. There's no actually violence now as we speak. There's no violence now as we speak. So, you know, this instead of emergency, so is scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's so scary to our civil population. If you have heard in November or in October 2025, there was the bombardment in Toinis, where actually armed tried attempt to mobilize to attack other community. Then the CDF intervened with the aerial bombardment.
Is that a solution?
That was not a solution, but in case we don't have road accessibility so that we reach there, we move our tank there, and what did the Babad Butana enact? Then what can we do as the government? And in a,
to bomb the people?
The intention was not to bomb them.
Mm-hmm.
The intention to scare them. And that's why you did not receive any report that that fizzle catalog. Yes, there was no casualties during that bombardment. The motive was that to show our muscle as a government, the show of muscle, so that the Akuma Induguo, Akuma has power.
Akuma Induguo, my bombarding people.
It's not, as I told you, the logic was not actually for the sake that we bombard them. But we want to scare them. We disfed the assembling of the armed youth.
What is the major problem? What is the major issue that you think is really making it hard for the government to bring in full security in Warap? Is it something to do with people not being sensitized of the dangers of having firearms? And what exactly is the problem?
We did it as a government. We did something called mental disarmament. You know, our governor, the current governor of Warap State, Ambassador Bolwagoth, it is a man of peace. He's a diplomat. He's highly civilized governor, So you always believe on making bring a solution to any problem using a peaceful means. Hal silmi yani. So we talk to them, and that's why now you see Warab is now peaceful. The peace has returned to Warab upon the appointment or arrival of the governor, the current governor. So we as a government, we talk to them, and there are also people who understood it, they listen to this and they comply with it. Bina Sumu Kalamda, woman Asada, woman Sip Uchakala Khalas. They already leave or abandon the violence and all this. There are people who did not comply with this. And that is now we have the other option of possible disarmament. If you talk to someone and someone failed to comply with this, the man has kulu. So at Dolal Mabasuma da, you have to use the maximum force. Yes.
And that maximum force includes?
Includes possible disarmament. So, coming to the point that you asked that challenges, you know. You know, we at the state government, we are part of South Sudan. We are under South Sudan. Warab is a part of South Sudan. So, seeing it is a part of South Sudan, we can do anything, or we can do such kind of things, or without the support from the national government. Our national government has a role to play. Like at this PDF, we have people safety Warab, a disability Warab. So if central government say Gal de Musuleb Tawala Warab, I can say that is not actually So it that's why we feel like sometimes we feel like vulnerables, because the little that we have in Division 11 and some few posts that we have cannot disarm and control
the situation on ground. Honorable, how is coordination between Juba and Kwajok ensuring effective implementation of this
As I told you earlier, the coordination is now in two ways. One, in terms of security, as the CDF declared 1 month ago, you know, after we finish operation in Jungle or in some part of South Sudan, we'll move back to Warab State to go and make disarmament. That is the security part. When it comes to developmental parts, I think there are plans now on the ground to connect roads network, because issue of no road network in Warab is also affecting our fighting or combating insecurity in Warab State. They also have an inagayamul bombardment last time, as I told you, because there is no road accessibility. So there are coordination now to connect roads. As you have heard,
the roads from where
from Tonj, let me say, from Tonj towns to Tonj East, from Tonj East to Tonj North. Yes.
I want to shift gears to matters to do with education. How is the security, the general as far as situation as far as education is concerned in the state? Do we have children going to school?
Yes. The education is moving on well in the state. As we speak, the children is already. Yet it's already done, and the school now open in Warab. So I think insecurity has not actually affected the school in Warab State.
Mm.
Yes.
All right. Now, how can communities, youth leaders, or civil society contribute to lasting peace in Warab State beyond disarmament or beyond the forceful disarmament that you talked about?
You know, for us to bring peace in Warab, that is our collective responsibility. The Musuli have done a kuluna. So can youth, so can Salatin, it is our collective responsibility. Why do I call it a collective responsibility? After disarmament, now coming the peaceful the peace campaign. The peace campaign, and that is actually can
you're starting a peace. You're starting a peace campaign.
Yes.
When is that?
We did not actually make a campaign, but there are peace initiatives now at the grassroots level.
Mm.
Yes.
All right, Honorable, what message do you have to the people of Warab?
My message to the people of Warab is that as now we are in the mood of a state of emergency, I want to tell people of Warab State to believe in the government that peace will come soon, and peace will not come out of miracles. Let me say it is effort. So I'm saying, let's join hand with the government. Let's join hand with the government of the state, and the government of central and the government of national unity.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Mamer Bath, the Minister of Information in Warab State. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mariah.
All right, you're listening to the Mariah Breakfast Show. Let's get to the Breakfast Show news headlines, and we continue with the nation's biggest conversations. Good morning.